All I can say is you should see the other guy. Seriously, though, I was taking the gifts from the giving trees out to Our Lady of the Blue Ridge out in Madison, and I was helping carrying the boxes in, and I had a box, and someone put a curb in my way and didn't tell me, and I tripped, and I saved the box, but I didn't save my face. I fell flat on my face. So it looked a lot worse on Thursday when this happened. My eye was closed and all this. I have a slight concussion, so if I start rambling today, you'll know why. And because I have a slight concussion, I've been avoiding work, which is a great reason why I consider this a little premature Christmas gift. Which means I haven't been able to write a homily for today, but I've been able to think about it, so I wrote down some notes. So again, if I'm rambling, blame the concussion. As I said, I consider this a little bit of a early Christmas present. We always get these, and for me, this was an early Christmas present because it gives me a chance to do some extra penance for my sins, which I like to do in Advent. But on Thursday, the same day, we also all got a much nicer early Christmas present. Our Blessed Mother has come to take up her place in the church. It is, I think, as it was. We were supposed to come in about a month and a half ago, but I think the timing now is even more beautiful. So I do consider it an early Christmas gift. But you know, Mary herself is an early Christmas gift to us, because Jesus gave Mary to us even before he was born, and every year she comes to us in a special way in Advent and helps us to prepare for the birth of her son. Because she is the one who was prepared better than anyone else for his birth, and who rejoiced in it more fully than anyone else before or since. Now, of course, this special role of Mary isn't limited to the Advent season or Christmas. It goes throughout the year. And it goes through all the ages. Mary's been with us ever since the Lord gave her to us. And the mural reminds us of this, which is one reason why I wanted this mural to be in our church. And it reminds us of a particular dramatic example of this. It depicts the time when Our Lady appeared on August 10th in the year 1218 to three men. First to, basically at the same time. So to St. Peter Nolasco, to King James of Aragon, and to St. Raymond of Peñafort. This obviously depicts the apparition to St. Raymond of Peñafort. And what he told St. Peter Nolasco was that she wanted him to form a new religious order that would ransom captive Christians. Because, you know, at the time, the Moors in southern Spain and northern Africa, the Muslims, controlled that part of the Mediterranean Sea, and the pirates would often capture the Christian ships and take the Christians on board and sell them into slavery or force them into slavery or force them to convert. And so Mary was asking that this religious order would take responsibility for ransoming them, either raising money and sending it in exchange for the people, or even if necessary, giving their own lives in exchange, kind of a prisoner exchange that the Mercedarian priest would give himself to the Moors in replace of the person captured. And so she is known as Our Lady of Ransom, also Our Lady of Mercy sometimes. And I mentioned that she appeared to to King James, and King James was told to help in every way by financing this order, especially the ransoms. And then to St. Raymond, because St. Raymond was St. Peter and Lascaux's spiritual director. And so he was told to guide him in this effort. And so St. Raymond is known as the second founder of the Mercedarian priests. You see in this how Mary is sent by Jesus to participate in his plan for the salvation of the world. In particular, you see the motherly love of Mary, the motherly love that her children, these Christians, had been captured, and now she was coming to their aid, the same motherly love that held the baby Jesus in her tender arms. We also see how she guides us in our roles and our vocations in life. She teaches us how to live, and so in particular in Advent, how to prepare for Christmas. We see this in a particularly dramatic way in St. Raymond's life. St. Raymond had always been a great scholar and a holy man, but it is interesting how after this, his life took some traumatic changes as he became, not because of this, but soon after this, he became very famous. He was already a scholar, as I said, but he wrote a book about confession for confessors, and he became the leading expert in the Middle Ages on confession. And then he became the Pope's confessor in Rome, and then the Pope put him in charge of adjudicating all the difficult cases in the church of, when someone had a sin that was, we call in the internal forum, they would go to the Pope for forgiveness, and St. Raymond was put in charge of that. That's what the key in his iconography represents, that he had the key to the kingdom of heaven, the key the Pope holds, as we say. But you see how Mary intervened in St. Raymond's life and guided him along the way into what he was to become. And because of this, he went on to be this great saint. But not again because, he had this apparition, but because of the great faith he had. That's why she appeared to him in the first place, but then we see that grace, that faith kind of culminate throughout his life, but also culminating near the end of his life, about 50 years after this, in this mural, where we know the story of how St. Raymond, defending the church's teaching on marriage, scolded the king, the same King James, for bringing his mistress with him to Mallorca for a preaching expedition, and threatened to leave if he didn't send the mistress away, and when he didn't, he was going to leave, and King James said, he closed the harbor. He closed all the ships. He said any captain who took him across the sea back to Barcelona would be arrested. And so, filled with faith, St. Raymond went down to the beach and made the sign of the cross throughout his cope, his cape that he wore, the black cape, stepped on one end, and then sailed across the sea, full of faith, never looking down, across the sea to Barcelona, with hundreds of witnesses on both sides of the shore to witness his great faith and this great miracle. This is how Mary, intervenes in our lives and helps us to move forward. And she helps us to move forward now, this week especially. We also see in today's gospel how Mary intervened in the life of Joseph also and taught him. Some people say that Mary was an unwed mother, and I've dispelled that many times. I've talked about this, the scripture says that Joseph, her husband, wanted to divorce her quietly, right? You don't divorce someone you're not married to, and you don't have a husband if you're not married to him, right? So they were married. The betrothal was a marriage ceremony. It wasn't an engagement ceremony. They were betrothed, but they were not living together. That's the distinction. But so they knew each other well. They had known each other probably for a long time, maybe since they were children. They may have been, you know, he may have been, they may have been betrothed when they were children, when they were very young. But at least they knew each other. And most, and I believe, and some, many of the fathers believe, that Mary and Joseph talked about the angel appearing to her and that she was pregnant. So Joseph wasn't making this decision, you know, out of, you know, because he didn't trust Mary or thought she was an adulteress or something, but because he didn't want to mess up God's plan for Mary. So he was stepping away. It seems to me that he couldn't have helped but learn some of this from Mary. To learn that humility, that acceptance of God's will. I mean, if you had a chance to have a conversation with Mary, and she was talking about the conception, the miraculous conception of her son, wouldn't that give you a whole different perspective on your life and on her life? And so we find Joseph later on, when Joseph has this dream where the angel comes to him and says, no, take her as your wife. It says he wakes up, and what does he do? He doesn't think about it. It just says he doesn't. He took Mary into his home. Much like Mary just said, let it be done to me according to your word. This is what our Blessed Mother does for us, and what Joseph does for us too. He teaches us to have faith and to follow Jesus, to open our hearts to him and to welcome him, and then to live with him joyfully, following all the days of our life. In these last days before Christmas, let us do just this. Let us join Mary and Joseph in preparing in the last moments for the celebration of the birth of Jesus, so that when he comes, we may open our hearts to him, open our homes to him, love him, and worship and follow him. Praise be Jesus Christ.